Good afternoon. This is Carol Bond, reading the Decatur Herald and Review, dated December 1st, 2016. We'll begin today's reading with the lead-off article on the front page. The headline is "Decatur to Mull Property Tax Hike," and this was written by Allison Petty. The Decatur City Council generally resisted property tax increases over the past several years, even as the city cut staff, battled flat or declining revenue streams, and faced increased pension contributions. That could change next year, with City Manager Tim Gleason proposing a 14.6% increase in the property tax levy from roughly $11.8 million to $13.5 million. Based on communication with the Macon County Assessor's Office, the city estimates that property values will increase 1.1% next year, said Greg Ziantara, the city's finance director. That would result in a tax rate of $1.63 per $100 of equalized assessed valuation under the proposed levy. The average owner of a $100,000 home would pay about $52 more, a total of roughly $445 for the city's portion of his or her tax bill. Residents with the same value home who qualify for the senior exemption would see a $43 increase for a total of $363. Gleason plans to discuss the tax levy and 2016 budget proposals with the council during a special meeting at 6:30 p.m. Thursday. No action will be taken. The council is slated to vote December 7th. Of the additional $1.7 million from the tax levy proposal, Ziantara said $1 million would go toward debt service. Another $500,000 would help pay for police and fire pension obligations, and $200,000 would be allocated to repairs for the city's seven aging fire stations. The debt service is associated with two tax increment financing districts that have underperformed, meaning that assessed property values and the resulting revenues have not increased as expected. They are located in the Wabash Crossing and downtown area. Starting in 2011 and wrapping up this year, the city invested millions of dollars to transform downtown. Curb appeal improved noticeably, and several businesses opened or expanded. He said, "This isn't the first year that the city looked elsewhere to make debt service payments related to the TIF districts." This is a quote. "What we've been able to do is find pockets of money in the general fund or use cash reserves in the general fund to make that debt service payment," he said. "We can no longer do that." Gleason said the city started budget preparation for next year with a $4.4 million deficit to overcome. "That is providing the same services that are provided, making some equipment purchases that are needed, doing some projects that were in the queue to be done, but nothing extra," he said, "just the normal day-to-day operations of the city." The budget does not predict increases in major revenue sources, such as sales tax and income tax, Gleason said. "Previous years have shown flat performance from those items. The last 6 years have been rough for the city. There are 490 budgeted positions in the 2015 budget, significantly down from 563 in 2009. Of the 73 positions eliminated, Zientara said 55 were funded by the city's general fund. Those cuts amount to nearly $5 million in today's expenses. Quoting Zientara, with basically flat tax revenues over the period, the city has covered the inflationary increases by cutting staff or by cutting reserves and doing what it has to do in order to make things balance out or work out, Zientara said. The city is now in a position that we believe it can no longer do that, and that we believe that either a revenue increase is necessary, or if council doesn't agree to that, then we have to look at what services are cut. While he might consider holding off on filling some vacancies, Gleason said he would prefer not to cut personnel further. In my mind, that's a last resort, he said. Residents who shop locally can help bolster the city's financial position through sales tax contributions, and Gleason said he plans to ramp up a campaign to encourage people to buy gas, groceries, and other items in Decatur. While all this might sound bleak, we're going to get through this, he said. The city council will meet at 6:30 p.m. Thursday in the council chambers, third floor, Decatur Civic Center, 1 Gary K. Anderson Plaza. A feature article on the first page has this headline, Law Enforcement Shows Growing Generosity, and it was written by Huey Free. At this time of year, when the nation's eyes are filled with images of a mythical figure in a white beard for mostly commercial purposes, dozens of men with genuine beards gathered at police headquarters to demonstrate the true meaning of the Christmas season. The officers and employees of the Decatur Police Department and Macon County Sheriff's and State's Attorney's offices grew out their facial hair, in contradiction to normal policies, as a fundraising tool to help families with specific needs related to their children's challenges. Female members of the law enforcement agencies pitched in by dyeing blue streaks in their hair or wearing blue jeans. When I mentioned not shaving their legs, I got a lot of dirty looks, said Jim Getz, acting Decatur police chief. About $6,000 was raised through the efforts of 200 employees, each of whom donated $30, $1 per day. On Thanksgiving Eve, checks were handed out to families who have undergone extraordinary hardships. Daniel Ritchie and Brittany Maxton of Decatur received assistance to care for their first child, 5-month-old Camden, who suffered a brain injury after he almost died in childbirth as a result of a lack of oxygen. We have high hopes he will eventually be okay, Ritchie said, adding that the infant suffers from seizures, vision impairment, and physical disabilities. The couple makes frequent trips to hospitals in St. Louis and Springfield in order for Camden to receive medical treatment. Although the couple does not like to ask for help, the word reached Decatur police employees about their plight. It's great, Ritchie said, adding that he was shocked to receive a phone call from the police department. They showed up at the door. I thought, what did I do? It is very humbling, Maxton said, referring to the outpouring of support from law enforcement and community members. Myshawn Dozier, a 12-year-old seventh grader at Hope Academy, suffers from TAR syndrome, a birth defect that causes a low blood platelet count and a lack of the radius bone in the forearm. His grandmother, Dee Matthews, said the funds provided by the police will help defray the cost of trips to the Shriners Hospital in St. Louis. I think this is wonderful that for them to get into their pockets and help our grandson and other people today, Matthews said. We need people to step up and help one another. Myshawn said he was a friend of Casey Derbort, daughter of Decatur Detective Jason Derbort. Casey, who also suffered from TAR syndrome, died following a blood transfusion in 2009 when she was 5 years old. I'm not the only one that should be special, Myshawn said, an aspiring attorney whose ambition is to be able to help with other people. This was the third year of No Shave November, as well as the first time Decatur police have participated. Correctional Officer Josh Page originally approached Sheriff Tom Schneider with the idea in 2013 to raise money for the American Cancer Society in honor of two retirees who lost their battles with cancer. He was inspired by the way people helped him out 4 years earlier when his daughter, Allison, died following a heart transplant. People donated money to help with our expenses, Page recalled, adding he spent much time with his daughter at a St. Louis hospital. People just stepped up. I had people mowing my yard. Page understands the hardships associated with childhood illnesses, including having to make life or death decisions. I appreciate everyone's support, Paige said. All we're doing here is just growing beards. After Decatur Police Chief Brad Sweeney, who is on leave at the FBI National Academy, and Getz approved of joining the effort, Detective Derbort was asked to serve as liaison with the Sheriff's Office. It is definitely a good cause, something we could have some fun with, Derbort said, adding that about 105 police officers and civilian employees participated. Getz said that when the word went out, quote, everybody really truly was genuine about wanting to participate. They were really excited about it. The dispatchers, an overwhelmingly female unit, opted to wear clothing displaying loyalty to their favorite sports teams. Quote, the biggest thing is being able to donate to local people, putting names and faces to it, Getz said. We could actually see these kids and see these families. It makes you see how lucky you are and makes you want to help those who aren't so lucky. Schneider said it was an excellent collaboration between city and county departments, which benefited the community. It's our way of dispelling some of the negativity that has come upon law enforcement recently, the sheriff said. A photograph accompanying this article shows Myshawn Dozier and his grandmother, Dee Matthews, thanking Decatur Police Detective Jason Derbort and acting Decatur Police Chief Jim Getz for their fundraising assistance during a ceremony for the No Shave November fundraiser at the Decatur Police Department. The photograph shows Dee Matthews hugging the police chief, the acting police chief, Jim Getz, and shaking hands, the young boy is shaking hands with the police officer, who is sporting quite a good beard. We turn now to some articles on crime and the courts. This headline reads, "Charges allege home invasion after party." And this was written by Huey Freeman. David D. McGowan, 29, of Decatur, was arraigned Monday on 7 felony counts, including Class X home invasion with a firearm, after he allegedly threatened to kill a couple with a handgun. The male victim told police on November 14th that he had been at a party in the 300 block of West Marietta Street with his wife and 4 other people about 1 a.m. that day after stopping at a liquor store. One of the people at the party was a man he knew as David DeBerry. The victim said he and his wife left the party about 4:10 a.m., then walked through an alley to their residence about 1 block away. When the couple arrived on their front porch, they saw a gray Chrysler PT Cruiser turn east onto Packard Street, said an affidavit by Decatur Police Detective Adam Jahars. That's J-A-H-R-A-U-S. The vehicle parked in front of their house, and a man they knew as David DeBerry walked over to the couple. As the husband, quote, watched David approaching him, he observed he was carrying what appeared to be a silver handgun in his right hand, Jarosz wrote in his statement. The gunman then ordered them inside. In their living room, he pointed the gun at the man and demanded money. He then pointed his gun at the woman and repeated his order. After she gave him a $50 bill, he ran from the house and got into the back seat of the PT Cruiser, which was driven from the scene. Another witness told police a similar story. The victims told police they believed they were targeted because, quote, he knew they had a little money because they had provided alcohol at the party. That's the end of the quote. It was determined that the male they knew as DeBerry could be David McGowan, who had used that name in the past. McGowan was identified by the victims in a photo lineup. When police located McGowan about 2:20 p.m. on November 20th as he was walking in the 1300 block of North Church Street, a loaded 25 caliber semi-automatic handgun was found in his waistband. McGowan was also in possession of about 5 grams of cocaine and 1 gram of marijuana. McGowan, who is being held in jail on a $100,000 bond pending his preliminary hearing December 16th, is facing 21 to 45 years in prison if convicted of home invasion. He is also facing Class X charges of armed habitual criminal, armed violence, and armed robbery, as well as felony narcotics charges. Another article by Huey Freeman has this headline, "Wanted man faces 6 new felony counts." A 26-year-old man who was wanted by police in connection with a case in which he was convicted of sex abuse of a child and an unrelated narcotics stolen vehicle case was arraigned Monday on 6 new felony charges, including Class X armed violence. Cameron Woodland, who also goes by the first name Cameron, with a different spelling, was sentenced to 2 3-year sentences in prison Wednesday in connection with the earlier crimes. They are to be served concurrently. Woodland pleaded guilty in 2014 to a felony charge of aggravated criminal sexual abuse as part of a plea deal in a case in which he was charged with having a sexual relationship with a girl under 13 years old from 2009 to 2011. Woodland received a sentence of 4 years of sex offender probation and was ordered to register as a sex offender in exchange for dismissal of 3 counts of predatory sexual assault of a child. He was charged with a probation violation in April and ordered to appear in court. After failing to appear, a warrant was issued. A deal was made, a sentencing hearing set, and Woodland failed to appear again on October 30th. Another warrant for his arrest was issued. While he was wanted by police on September 27th and 28th, Woodland allegedly stole 103 cartons of cigarettes, valued at $6,688 from Circle K, 1089 West El Dorado Street. Police allege that a female employee assisted Woodland in that crime. Woodland was charged Monday with 2 counts of burglary in that case. On November 20th, Special Deputy U.S. Marshals Adam Walter and Lorne Sturdivant arrested Woodland. He was booked into the Macon County Jail, where he is being held without bond. A search of Woodland turned up a loaded, stolen 25 caliber handgun from a front pants pocket. He was also found with about 11 ounces of marijuana and a baggie containing 5 ounces of Xanax pills and anti-anxiety medication. As a result of the gun and drugs, Woodland was charged with Class X armed violence, carrying a 15 to 30 year sentence if convicted, aggravated unlawful use of a weapon, and 2 narcotics charges. He is due in court for his preliminary hearing on his 2 most recent cases, December 16th. Woodland will begin serving his prison sentences for his earlier crimes sometime after that hearing. Let's check on some of the A3 briefs for Tuesday today. There's one about a Senate candidate event. U.S. Senate candidate Andrea Zopp will meet at a meet-and-greet event from 3 to 4 p.m. today in the Decatur Public Library, 130 North Franklin Street. Zopp is seeking the Democratic nomination to face incumbent Mark Kirk in November 2016. Holiday Showcase. The Decatur Park District's Schaub Floral Display Center will hold a holiday showcase beginning today at 3415 East Lost Bridge Road. The free event will feature poinsettias, orchids, and other plants, and be open 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. through January 3rd. The center will be closed December 25th and January 1st. A plant sale will be held 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. Friday and Saturday, December 4th and 5th. For more information, call 421-7550. The Senior Center. A Christmas reception will be held from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Friday, December 4th at the Decatur-Macon County Senior Center, 1430 North 22nd Street. refreshments will be served. Holiday lights. Remember loved ones with a holiday light at HSHS St. Mary's Hospital. A $50 donation will purchase a light on the star that is on top of the building. Lights must be purchased by Friday, December 4th. To purchase a light, call Debbie Seitz, 464-5590. Dry winter predicted. Despite a recent string of rain showers hitting the area, the winter season is expected to be a mild one, with less precipitation as compared to past years. Cameron Craig, Eastern Illinois University climatologist, said the trend is because of El Niño, a warm Pacific Ocean system that forms occasionally. Craig said El Niño is shaping up in the central Pacific, leading to a dry, warm season when compared to the 30-year average for the next 3 months. The 30-year average temperature for these months is 30.9 degrees. Craig said the Coles County area also receives about 19 inches of snow for the entire season, which is not likely to occur this winter. This weather is similar to the climate that prompted a drought that plagued the area in 2012, but Craig said it is too early to tell if this year will follow the same pattern. We have time to read Mary Hunt's column, Find Money You Didn't Know You Had. You know the feeling when you reach into the pocket of a coat you haven't worn for a while and pull out a $20 bill? What would it feel like if you pulled out hundreds of dollars? And what if you found money like that month after month? It's not magic. It can be done. Pinholes in your financial life can turn into massive money gushers. Patching these holes is the key to improving your income. The problem is that it's easy to ignore the tiny cracks. We're busy. There's the mortgage or rent, car payment, credit cards, insurance, college savings, carpools, vacation plans, retirement accounts, work benefits, kids, dog, guinea pig. So the little stuff happens without our noticing. We think, what's the harm in picking up dinner from the drive-thru again? Our lives are so busy and we have to eat. Why go to the trouble of scoping out the sales before I hit the supermarket? It's just easier to buy what looks good that the kids will eat. We're going to take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the issue dated December 1st, 2015, Decatur Herald and Review. We'll complete Mary Hunt's article in the second half hour of our broadcast. Please stay tuned.